Save big money when you shop at Menards. Transform your home in one weekend with exterior wood stain and sealer from Dutch Boy. It provides one coat protection on decks, fences, siding, and outdoor furniture. It repels rain after just 4 hours of application. That means quicker results, saving you both time and money. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life, 1 gallon at a time. Stop by your local Menards today. Save big.
Crystal Palace is an area of South London, named after an immense structure of cast iron and plate glass which was constructed in Hyde Park to house the Great Exhibition of 1851. The Great Exhibition, a celebration of modern industrial technology and design, ran from May till October of that year. After the exhibition closed, the Crystal Palace was moved to Penge Common and rebuilt in amongst a 389-acre site. The surrounding grounds were extensively renovated and transformed into an immense public park. Today, Crystal Palace Park is an unusual place, a faded gem in which the relics of the past mingle with modern life. Many of the original features of the park have succumbed to the relentless march of the years, but one experimental novelty, although on the surface it has quite thoroughly vanished, still lingers in the form of a local urban legend. I'm Rowan Molyneux, and you're listening to Oddity, the podcast about all things strange and unexplained. The Crystal Palace itself burnt down in 1936. The night that it burnt down, the fiery glow was visible across 8 counties. 100,000 people came to Sydenham Hill to watch the blaze, which, despite the best efforts of the fire brigade, could not be extinguished. The Crystal Palace would never be rebuilt. But the park and the surrounding area still bears its name. Inscrutable sphinxes flank the terraces, and slightly wonky dinosaurs dwell just out of reach on small islands. Unveiled in 1854, the Crystal Palace dinosaurs were in fact the first full-sized dinosaur sculptures in the world. When Benjamin Waterhouse Hawkins was first commissioned to create a collection of life-sized sculptures of extinct creatures, he didn't initially intend to include the dinosaurs. But today the dinosaurs have become beloved mascots of the park. It has to be said that they aren't the most accurate of depictions, but when they were created they represented the absolute cutting edge of scientific knowledge. To give you some idea of their size, leading up to the launch of the models, a New Year's Eve dinner party was held inside the mould of one of the iguanodons. In 1973 they were classed as Grade 2 listed, and in 2007, elevated to Grade 1. The first time I remember going to Crystal Palace Park with my family, I was a small child. The sight of stony ichthyosaurs wallowing in the water, with their sharp little teeth and baleful dead eyes, filled me with a sort of dread which has stayed with me ever since, and given me a certain wariness of the sea, and the deep end of swimming pools. The dinosaurs are undoubtedly one of the best-known novelties created for the park. But there is another which is equally interesting, despite being in operation for only 2 months. The Crystal Palace Experimental Pneumatic Railway opened in late August of 1864 and closed in October. Designed by Thomas Webster Rammell, it ran along a 600-yard tunnel between the Sydenham and Penge gates of the park. The journey cost sixpence, and took only 50 seconds. The pneumatic railway disappeared in the years after it was closed, possibly being destroyed during the construction for the 1911 Festival of the Empire celebrations. Some people believe that the tunnel still exists, somewhere beneath the park. Divining rods, seismographic tests, and helicopters have been used to try and locate the line. And there was an unsuccessful BBC-sponsored archaeological dig in 1975. In 1978, a 19-year-old woman called Pamela Goodsell went to the local papers with a strange story. Last summer, after a bit of a row with my parents, I went to Crystal Palace and was going to stay the night there, she told them. I jumped over a wall and the ground caved in beneath me. I fell about 15 feet and sprained my foot. I struck a match to see where I was, and saw the train. There was a smell of death, and it was damp. Then I saw the passengers. The women wore dresses with bustles, and the men still wore their top hats. Some were still in the seats, and some were scattered around. Ms. Goodsell spoke to the chairman of the Crystal Palace Foundation, Melvin Harrison, soon after her story hit the papers. He asked that she show him the place in which she'd fallen through the earth. Unfortunately, when they got there, the hole had completely disappeared. It's worth noting that the location of her supposed experience was nowhere near where the pneumatic railway had been located. Mr. Harrison believes that the story Pamela told was in fact a popular urban legend, told in the area as early as the 1930s. He put forward the theory that the origin of the story could come from a pneumatic railway which ran in New York from 1870 to 1873. It turns out that in 1912, a carriage from the pneumatic railway was in fact discovered in a previously inaccessible tunnel, although there were no skeletons involved in this event. It's thought that the news of the uncovered New York carriage may have made its way across the pond and become mingled with people's memories of the line at Crystal Palace. Another possible inspiration for the legend is the collapse of the Churchill Tunnel in Richmond, Virginia. Right from the word go, the tunnel was trouble. During construction in the 1870s, cave-ins reportedly killed 10 workers. There were continual problems with groundwater seepage, and in 1901 the tunnel was abandoned. Then, in 1925, efforts began to restore the Churchill Tunnel to a usable condition. On October the 2nd, disaster struck. Repairs were being carried out when the tunnel collapsed, trapping a steam train inside, along with several workers. Unfortunately, rescue efforts were thwarted by further cave-ins, and it became apparent that there was no hope of getting to the men. Eventually, the tunnel was sealed up for safety reasons. All in all, 4 men died. 2 of them have never been retrieved, and their bodies remain sealed up inside the tunnel. This tragedy, occurring in 1925, could have potentially mingled with tales of the carriage buried in the pneumatic railway in New York, before being localised in stories of the Crystal Palace Tunnel. Interestingly, the pneumatic railway isn't the only site in Crystal Palace to have an associated legend regarding a buried train full of skeletons. In 1865, Crystal Palace high-level railway station opened, popular with visitors to the newly transplanted Crystal Palace and its surrounding park. Of course, after the structure burned to the ground in 1936, the number of people travelling to the station declined, and the line was bombed during the Second World War. It did reopen temporarily, but in the end the station was closed in 1954. A local urban legend told by school kids claims that the station was shut down because a commuter train was trapped in a tunnel when the bomb dropped. Rescuers couldn't get through to the site, and eventually bricked up the tunnel, entombing the passengers who remain there till this day. This story is a fascinating example of how urban legends get reframed to fit with what suits the public consciousness at the time. It's natural for old stories to change in the telling. After the war, a local story about Victorians trapped in a novelty railway running through a decorative park must have seemed pretty tame. So the story seems to have switched from being about the pneumatic railway to focusing on the old high-level station. But when details of the archaeological dig in the park were broadcast in 1975, it no doubt brought the older setting to the forefront of the locals' minds once again. It's not unreasonable to theorise that this may have provided the groundwork for Ms. Goodsell's story in 1978. There is a disused railway tunnel near to the park, running from near Crystal Palace Parade to Upper Sydenham. The Paxton Tunnel, named after the man who designed the Crystal Palace itself, was sealed using heavy steel doors during the 1980s, after some children went missing and police dogs were brought in to search the tunnel. Nothing was found, but the local residents were still concerned about the safety of the tunnel. A relative of mine actually remembers exploring the tunnel as a teenager, around the same time that Pamela Goodsall went to the papers with her story of the Victorian skeletons in the train carriage. It seems that the local teens had something of a fascination with the eerie abandoned places dotted around the park. It's only natural that they would have told each other stories about those tunnels, perhaps building on the old, half-remembered urban legends. Teens love to scare each other, and Pamela's story is exactly the type of thing you'd expect to hear recounted as happening to a friend of a friend. What is less usual is the fact that she went to the papers with her tale. What led her to do this? Was it a prank? The result of a dare? A bid for attention? Or perhaps she really did experience something weird that night in the park, surrounded by remnants of a bygone age. Thank you for listening to Oddity. If you enjoyed this episode and want to support the podcast, you can do so by leaving a positive rating and review on iTunes or by becoming a patron via patreon.com/oddity podcast. You can get in touch at Oddity Podcast on Twitter, or if you prefer email, odditypod@gmail.com. Join me, Rowan Molyneux, next time for another journey into the strange and unexplained.